Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on Election Day. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Aaron Judge still a Yankee? I'm just checking.
As of now, yes.
Just checking for a friend. All right. Landon Tangwall, he finally did make the announcement today that Landon Tangwall's out for the year. Obviously, he hasn't played the last few games. He is a real talent and is one of those great attitude guys. You know, it's great when you have guys that have talent to go with attitude. And he's got both. And then Hunter Norzad announced himself today that he is coming back for next season. As I talked, I think I talked about this last week on the show, about Norzad has he already has his engineering degree from Cornell. And he is in a master's program here at Penn State that is a two-year program, which James looked at me and goes, I'm glad, you know, because I asked Hunter about it and James was sitting there. And he says, that's a two-year program. He says, that's good information. Because they wanted Hunter back. And, you know, Hunter can play center, both guard spots, and don't ever forget that he started 20 times at right tackle for Cornell. So, guy like that with the versatility he has and the talent is invaluable. Penn State basketball, good opener last night. 93-68, won by 25. Shot 55% at a school record, 18 three-pointers last night. Fun game. Very entertaining game. Fun game to watch last night at the Jordan Center.
And lots of them coming from our man, Andrew Funk. That was quite a debut.
I'll be honest with you. He played about the way I thought he would play.
Me too.
That's the way he's practiced all season. That, you know, I watched him in the scrimmages. That's the way he scrimmaged. If you notice the question I asked him in the post game, I said, you have been the number one option so many times in your career. What's it like to be just one of the options? And he says he thrives on that. Or now, instead of being the guy that runs out onto the court that has the bullseye on him, he now is one of the options, and he can now just do his thing. And he feels like he has more openings. Penn State's spacing was outstanding last night. I mean, it wasn't just good. It was outstanding last night. And that's just a good start. I mean, that's what you want. You just want to get a good start, get out of the gate. Not everybody had a good start last night. Let's go right to our old friend Pat Chambers. Took Florida Gulf Coast out to face USC and Andy Enfield. Andy Enfield, of course, got the USC job after coaching Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, I was there when they beat Georgetown. Was at the game, covering it. And Florida Gulf Coast, Pat got a big win last night. They beat USC last night. So not everybody got out of the gate like they were supposed to. Penn State did. You got Loyola coming in on Thursday, right after the coaches show. That's why I made the joke in the postgame show last night. I said, I know I've got to go from the field at Top Trees with James Franklin right to the game. I said, I looked at Dick. I said, I need to remember that the police escort is in front of you, not in back of you.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
That's very good advice.
I think it's good advice for all of you out there. A message from this station and the Ad Council. And, of course, I hope you had a chance to vote today. I wrote the suit in on all four races.
Oh, my almighty!
I just felt like I was doing the radio station a service by at least attempting it. What? What's wrong? I don't understand. Why do you get mad at me with that stuff? I
mean, S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
Now, and what's interesting is I can write him in as the suit, and they know who it is.
None of that surprises me.
My goodness, he's talking about the suit. It's our guy, man. Suit. All right. So basketball's underway. Nate Davis today. Neil Coulong today. John Crispin today. Tim Brando tomorrow. Johnny Holiday on Friday.
Oh, yeah, with Alex. That's a heck of a football Friday right there.
I mean, Johnny Holiday. Then Johnny and I are going to go to dinner.
Fantastic.
He is...
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that dinner.
When the two of us are together?
Yes. Based on said stories you've told me.
Johnny said the same thing Wheel said. That if we only lived a couple of miles apart.
Yep.
Be around you. It's like, okay, let's go play a round of golf. Here we go. Well, I'm surrounded by really good people. And Tim Brando's name came up last week because Don Fisher and I were together. And, of course, there are three broadcast survivors from the Sam Licklider game. Don, Tim, and me. And Tim has the game, of course, coming up this week. So there you go. All right? Just want to make sure that we got all this stuff going on. I think this is a fun time of the year. A lot of fun.
And the Bison taking care of business last night, too?
Yeah. Yeah. Good start, huh?
It was. Be it, it's a Division III opponent, Lebanon Valley, but you know what? They came ready to play.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know what? You're just trying to get out of the gate.
Yeah. And they definitely did that. They passed the largest margin of victory in school history last night.
Oh, good. Hey, I mean, and everybody played.
And everybody played. School record 21 threes as well.
See, what that does, when you have the ability where everybody plays, that does so much for the camaraderie in a program, at least to me. Because you see the bench. I mean, the bench is going crazy over there. They're loving every second of this when they have the opportunity to get everybody in. Now their buddies get a chance to do what they do. And, you know, that's why you see, for example, when a run-on, walk-on gets a scholarship, notice who goes crazy. The scholarship players. That should tell everybody about the culture of a football team or a basketball team. When they are sitting there and it means so much to the scholarship player that the non-scholarship player now joins their ranks, that's wow. That's wow. And it tells you a lot. About the camaraderie. It tells you about how hard they know somebody works. It means all of that. And that's what I think is so great about it. It's a privilege to sit there and see some of this sometimes. I mean, it really is. See it up close and personally, to be there when Drew got his, Drew Hartlob, to be there when Barney got his from Eli Manning. That's great stuff. That's why, you feel like you're privileged to be standing there if something like that happens, because then you see how everybody reacts to it. It's not just how he reacts to it. It's how everybody reacts to it. And that's what makes it so much, is so rewarding, because culture is something that's a word that's tossed around all the time. Culture, culture, culture. To the point where I think, some fans tune it out. Culture is very much like you're standing out in the middle of nowhere and there's wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Culture is very much like that. When you are around good culture, you know it right away. It's just something that you just know and you sense right away. And it makes a big difference. It does. I don't sit there and talk too much about it. Or, I usually stay away from that. But it is, it's important to have. So, and were you the PA announcer last night?
Yes, sir. Back for my fourth season.
Oh, great. Well, they're lucky to have you.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, they're lucky to have you. You do a great job. When it came time for the national anthem, did you just play Luke's All Rise?
No, actually, because I would be disrespecting a Bucknell cheerleader that sang the national anthem last night. And he did a great job, so.
Really?
Yes.
So when he does it on my show, that's not disrespecting?
Well, he's part of the conversation. It just fits right in.
Do you have to go home and explain all this stuff to your wife?
Yes, and she does find it hilarious sometimes.
Which part? What I say or you?
Oh, what you say. Definitely what you say.
Really?
All rise!
You know what he's going to do? He's going to all rise and go to San Francisco. All right, let's... These are your people, man. It's sad. They're your people. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
the first part about Hunter, as you know, I think I may have mentioned it, but I think you know I've been having these meetings on Sundays, especially Sundays of home games when a lot of the families are in town anyway, sitting down and talking. So I had a meeting with Hunter and his mom and his sister a few weeks back, and had a really good conversation. And I was sitting in my office, I think it was yesterday, and he just came walking in and had a couple questions for me, wanted to ask me. And at the end of the conversation, he said, you know, I'm staying. I think there's a lot of things that I want to do here at Penn State, and I want to finish in my career. You know, I think the other thing is he's going to finish his master's degree, which is awesome. You know, and I think, you know, he's got really high expectations of what he can do and we can do. So I think that'll be great.
Another answer that did not satisfy you.
No, this is fine. And it's good. I'm glad it worked out that way. Because he's been a big part of the old line. He deserves it.
We all knew he was going to do it, but it's just, you know. Yeah. So I'm just glad it's out now and he can move on. Yeah. And of course, Landon's out. Hunter should be able to. He's a big plus moving forward. And then James did talk that they've got their fingers crossed they can get Caden Wallace back in there. See, to Doug in Wellsboro, Doug asked before the game in the pregame show, he called in and he asked about who was going to be starting on the offensive line. And I said, I've got to see warm-up. And the only reason, Doug, I wanted to see who was going to start, I pretty much knew four of the five. I wasn't sure how they were going to handle the fifth one. And that's why I wanted to wait. And it turned out that Caden couldn't go. So that, you know, that's the only reason why. I wasn't trying to be vague or anything like that. I wanted to get it right, and I still, based on walkthroughs and on practice, they'd use different combinations. So I was pretty sure they started the group I thought they would, but I was only pretty sure I wasn't exactly sure. So I apologize to you, Doug, for being vague on the answer, because I'd rather give answers I'm absolutely sure of. That's why I wanted to see how they would line up and warm up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And not only that, but a great service department that backs it all up. It's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. How much of should we talk to Alex Kozora about the Steelers, and how much should we just delve into what you were like as a youth?
I think at this point of the season, he would probably much rather delve into what I did as a youth.
And I believe that the audience would appreciate that.
Yes, they would.
They would love it. Then we'll save the tape, and little Luke and little Mark, when they get a little feisty in life, and you yell at them, I'll say, why don't you listen to this tape for a moment? Yeah.
There you go.
You have very little reaction to that.
Because I'm just thinking of those said things that I've done as a youth.
Something tells me you're a pretty good kid. All right. Seriously. All right, let's turn now to the Steelers. Do we have to?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No, we talk to Neil every Tuesday. Every once in a while, we'll throw him on a Wednesday, but He does such a great job. Neil, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
As always, it is great to be here. I hope you guys are having a lovely day as well.
Well, let's talk about part of the lovely day, and that is the Steelers, who used to be flexed into Sunday Night Football, are being flexed out of it. What statement does that make about the current state of Steeler football?
I think they're 2-6. I mean, 2-6 without a marquee quarterback. And if you look at what they're up against as far as flexing games, one, you have to have a game that you want to put into that spot. If it's a game, typically a rivalry, but with marquee quarterbacks, that's going to get the nod. I mean, that's just kind of the way that it works. And plus, I think the last three games between the Steelers and Bengals have been just kind of gong shows. I mean, the win the Steelers have was as ridiculous a win as you'll see in the NFL. In the previous two, I think the combined score was like 890-6 or something like that. I can understand there not being a whole lot of confidence in putting that game up when you could have Mahomes versus Herbert in what's looking like maybe not quite yet, but it's supposed to be one of the marquee matchups within the AFC. So I see why they did it. I'm not at all surprised. If anything, I mean, you usually hear sports writers rejoice when the team they cover is taken out of prime time.
Yes.
makes it a little bit easier of a night, but I'm not quite at the age where I want to admit to that. But, it's you earn these sorts of things in a way. Earn them with quality play behind marketable players. And even with the assumed presence of T.J. Watt, I'm not really sure what there is for the Steelers to get fans outside of Steeler Nation all that excited for that game. It's kind of a no-brainer in my mind.
Yeah, and the part about the Steelers is, you can not win and be entertaining. I don't find them entertaining.
Not winning and being entertaining would be losing like 41-38.
Yeah, something like that.
They're averaging 15 points a game.
Yeah.
not even remotely entertaining. If they got two touchdowns, that would be an improvement.
Yes.
For what they're currently doing. They currently, with the quarterback they have now, they're turning the ball over a lot. Without Watt, they have no pressure on the quarterback at all. But at least their secondary isn't all that good. It's as beatable a team as there is in the NFL right now. Now, I don't know what they'll do from the bye week through to their next game here. Again, assuming T.J. Watt is back, maybe that helps move things in a better direction. It's an easier schedule for the team over the second half of the season than the first, which turns out to be pretty brutal, which is odd to say considering they haven't even played Baltimore yet. I think the second half will go better than the first half, but you definitely can't suggest right now that it's a strong bet that they're going to come out and drop 34 points on the next five teams they play. I don't see that happening. I think it might improve by 3, maybe 4 points, but this isn't a good offensive team, and it's not going to be.
All right, so what is the status of T.J. Watt? I mean, any idea when he might, magically return?
Well, what we know is, as Mike Tomlin said today, he's optimistic that Watt will return. This is also a team that plays things very, very specifically to the rules. They're going to wait until the last possible minute that they have to activate T.J. Watt back to their roster. Make a corresponding move along with that. That's probably what part of this practice week is for them, to kind of figure out what direction they want to go with that, with whatever player isn't going to be around for them beyond. Really, when Watt comes back, somebody's got to go, and they'll figure out who that is. That's something I would imagine they'll typically they make that decision, I think, on Saturday leading into their next game. So I would expect that, unless there's a setback, which is why they don't activate him. They don't need to tell anybody about it. They don't need to talk about it. we'll see what happens. I remember back in, it was like 2015 or something, Martavis Bryant was coming back off suspension. He was eligible to, and they hadn't brought him back, and he got injured in practice. So we had to end up missing another week, but they didn't have to talk about it because he was still technically on the suspension list. They never activated him. So the Steelers are very tight with that rule, and we'll find out, you know, more on Watts as the week goes on. But my guess would be they'll wait. They're planning on him playing. They expect him to play. This has always been the plan, and they absolutely need him. I don't know, you know, short of any Ben Roethlisberger reappearance during a season, I don't know if they've ever needed a player that they didn't have available to them prior more than what they need in Watt right now.
Well, see, the difference between, geez, you know, we're bringing it back. We have a lot of tough decisions to make here as to who we get rid of. Their problem is looking around because we have so many choices. Which one?
The options are plentiful. I would put it like this. I'm not sure how much it matters. I mean, you want to be thoughtful with your decisions, but yeah, Let's be honest here. I mean, if they're able to field the right 53 guys, which is the right backups and the right guys to play on special teams along with your core players, I don't know how much it's really going to matter. I would think more than anything they'll hold out, just maybe somebody else is hurt that we're not really going to know about right away, another IR candidate, swap one out, put another one in. It very well could be the case. We never know about that. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many defensive backs they've brought into that. There was a joke going around Christian Kuntz, the long snapper, has a rib injury, apparently. We just found out about that today, and somebody had made a typo on Twitter referring to him as a cornerback, and it was like, is he playing cornerback now? Okay, that actually wouldn't surprise me a whole lot if he was.
Yeah,
they've got a few of those guys. I wouldn't surprise me if it's one of them. The practice squad call-up guys usually can kind of fill that gap when they need it, the two that they can activate leading into a game. As far as putting somebody on the roster, I my guess would be one of the defensive backs that they probably don't need as much as they need TJ Watt, if we're going to make it about that.
Right. All right, Kenny Pickett now. Before I get to Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, why are we seeing almost a 180 of last year from him? Why?
One, as you know, I have not been the most outspoken Najee Harris supporter.
I know that. No. And again, remember the point I always made about Najee Harris last year. He led the SEC in broken tackles at Alabama. But you and I both know, because of competition and so forth, those broken tackles were happening 6 and 7 yards downfield.
Yes.
With a full head of steam, not in the backfield like last year.
Yeah, and at that point too, at Alabama, he's breaking tackles from, you know, Division I safeties, not NFL linebackers or linemen. I don't want to say that broken tackles is an overrated stat in college, but you really have to look at depth of field when he's doing it. And in that, we get to two conclusions that the Najee supporters are going to live and die by. One, he is hurt. We know that he's hurt. Certainly was an ominous message to receive right before week one after all the fantasy drafts were done. He has a Lisfranc injury, which is, you know, basically cost him camp. You don't know how well he's going to respond to that. I think it's safe to say that it's been a negative factor for him to this point in the season. Two, we can't look behind an offensive line that is typically winning its one-on-one matchups, giving him the ability to run clear, at least to the line of scrimmage, where he can compete for yards gained. However, here's my issue. I think we've talked about this. There was a comparison, which in a lot of ways kind of seems like a troll move at first, but there are a lot of reasonable comparison from Najee Harris to another former Alabama running back taken in the first round, Trent Richardson.
Yes.
The reason I say that I'm not suggesting Najee is a bust. It's not possible for him to be a bust at the level of Richardson. But the one thing I noticed with Richardson with Cleveland was it's not that, you know, everyone assumes that you play behind an offensive line, which at Alabama is typically dominant. That helps you compile your stats. I don't want to look at it in a results-based fashion, but it really seems that both Richardson and now Harris have the same sort of, you know, call it almost a nervous tick,
yep,
moving side to side with their weight when they're approaching the hole.
Yep.
That, to me, and I've been told this by coaches before, it can indicate the player is not sure where the hole is. That's not a question of, you know, people often think a run play is, you know, you run to this specific spot on the field and you cut at this blade of grass. They did that back in the 40s. So that's not, yeah, the way the game is played anymore. It's fluid. You move with, you know, where your blocking is. Harris doesn't see it. And the reason it stands out to me so much more this year, I'm not entirely sure he didn't do it last year, but one, I think the injury is wrecking his confidence in his body, and because of that, he's not approaching things with a full head of steam. He's, yep, not going into it all out. And two, the injury is really bringing out what his great limitation is, and this is something you'll never hear Mike Tomlin say, because, yeah, they drafted him, they grossly overrated how good of an athlete he is, how explosive he is, all these things that I just never saw on tape when I watched him in college. Looked like a decent running back, not a great one, not twitchy, not explosive, not a big play guy. His foot injury takes away his power. He doesn't even have that now. And what, right, we really see above anything else, he doesn't have vision.
Yeah,
he's not seeing lanes. Right. You know, there's a world of difference. And I've talked about this on your show a bunch of times. In comparison to Benny Snell, he's you know, he's got eagle eyes. But with Najee now, he's not seeing what is there at the NFL level versus college. Right. I think because he's injured, the instinct that he used to use, when he'd run, he'd basically say, look, give me the ball, all right, fine, there, I'm going to go. He's not playing with that anymore. And it stands out so much to me just because Jalen Warren is half his size, maybe one-tenth of his pedigree. Warren gets the ball behind the same line in very similar situations in the game, and far more often than not, he's getting 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah.
Not even about the tens that neither of them are getting, which is a problem with your blocking the scheme, probably more than anything. He is making hay out of more than Najee is on a per snap basis, and it isn't even close. That shouldn't be happening. Are we going to sit and blame the injury? Are we going to continue to do this over and over again? Because I'll say this, Tomlin said this at his press conference. Obviously, if he's out there, he's healthy enough to play.
Right.
Okay. Then explain to me why he's getting 3.3 yards a carry while your undrafted rookie is getting like 4. Why is that? It's because Warren is seeing something that Harris doesn't. And that's a significant problem. I don't know if what we've seen now for him to fall off, and I say fall off, pointing out to people that just because he went to a Pro Bowl does not mean he was a great running back last year. He wasn't, okay?
A lot of people.
He was a rookie.
Yeah.
He was a rookie running back who got the ball a ton. He averaged less than 4 yards a carry on major volume. He was like the only running back in the league who got the ball over 200 times that didn't average 4 yards a carry, something like that. Ezekiel Elliott was on his level. They were very comparative in that way. You didn't see great things from him, and you're seeing even less now. And a large part of that is he's hurt. I get it. But we need to get away from the line. We need to stop blaming the line for a running back that's averaging 3.3 yards a carry, because that's miserable, okay? You did not need to draft a running back in the first round, probably anyway, you know, put that aside. But if you believe that this kid is so special, you're going to give him the ball as often as you did, you need to stop blaming the line if he doesn't get results, because all you're doing is proving the point that you probably shouldn't have taken a running back that high. To say nothing of the fact that, you know, an undrafted rookie is out producing him on a week-to-week basis over 8 games. Not 2, 8 games right now. So I don't know. I wasn't big on the pick. If you had to take a running back at 22 overall, he wasn't the running back I would have taken. That's just me. I don't know anything. But what we see of Najee Harris, there's not a whole lot of positivity coming out of the plays that coming out of the opportunities that he's getting. He's not hitting whatever it is that he's seeing. It doesn't seem like he's identifying the flow of blocking. He's not reading any space at all, and he isn't getting forward. You know, more than anything, it's that. If you have a bad line and a great running back, you can turn zero into two or three. He isn't doing that. You know, a great running back can turn three into six or seven. He isn't doing that. So there's a lot of not good coming out of him, and it's going to continue to be a problem. You're not just going to open up, massive holes that anybody could run through for him to gain as many yards as you think that he should. I think at the end of the day, line isn't any better than the running back is. I don't think they're all that much different right now.
I think that sums it up perfectly. Thank you, sir. Always appreciate you. You know that.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
See, what strikes me about the Steelers conversations is I feel like you enjoy them more now.
No, I have no animosity toward the Steelers.
The fact they have six Super Bowls, you have one.
No. The only Pittsburgh team I truly hate are the Penguins because of their rivalry with the Flyers. Other than that, I have no animosity toward the Steelers, and you don't have a soul if you have any animosity toward the Pirates. I mean, let's be real.
Well, for example, you're the AAA champion, Sacramento, whatever. You know, and you're looking around going, yeah, you've got animosity saying we got better players than you do. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
We should be in the majors. The Pirates, to their credit, are an argument for relegation. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I did speak with Landon. As you guys know, I won't really talk about injuries unless I've talked to the young men first about it. Landon did have surgery and will be out for the remainder of the year. And Olu is one of those situations where it's week to week.
Again, you weren't satisfied with that answer.
I've been good lately. Overall, I've been good lately.
Nothing satisfies you.
A lot of things don't, but
Luke hits the ball off the tee. It didn't go far enough.
No, I was actually proud about that.
That he finally hit the ball?
Well, that he hit the ball and it with a little bit of drive to it.
So give me an estimate. 3-4 feet?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Wow, you do have low standards. Wow. Mackerel. Bar not high at your house.
We're still working on the fundamentals, though. That's the biggest thing. We still got to hit the ball with two hands and look down at the ball. But we're getting there. You know,
boy, I've talked to the suit over and over again about broadcast fundamentals. It does. I mean, at any age, sometimes it just doesn't settle in. All right. Nate Davis, next half hour. John Crispin, final half hour. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.